ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Well, it's time to talk sport, which is never boring, especially when Warwick Hadfield is on deck. Warwick, good morning.
Good morning to you, Sally.
In the AFL, Port Adelaide's Jeremy Finlayson has been suspended for 3 weeks for his homophobic slur against an Essendon player last Friday. This story isn't going away, Warwick.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it, Sally? Publicly, Finlayson and Port Adelaide are accepting the penalty. Privately, they would have every right to express disquiet at the inconsistency, even hypocrisy, of the AFL. Even to remark about one rule for Victorians and another for South Australians, witness the Sam Powell-Pepper suspension earlier this year. When the recidivist North Melbourne coach, Alistair Clarkson, who also likes to be a power broker behind the scenes, committed the same offence only a few weeks ago, he was fined $20,000 with a two-week ban suspended. Yesterday, having convinced Port Adelaide to go along with it all, the AFL officially tried to find... AFL officials actually tried to find nuances between what Clarkson said, a 10-letter word mixed with plenty of other invective, and Finlayson's 6-letter outburst to justify these two widely varying penalties. They failed dismally, yet another sign, as with the racist attacks levelled at Adam Goodness, at the AFL, despite all the fine words, moves too slowly when vilification actually takes place. Eventually, public opinion has won out on this one. Finlayson showed full contrition for his comments, otherwise he might have been suspended for 4 weeks. He must also undergo a Pride in Sport education program, for which he must pay. As for the AFL, well, it remains an organisation too often more worried about the look than proper justice and due process. And that's something the Players Association pointed out yesterday when it called for a review of all that has happened. You'd have to say, despite what the AFL's tried to do, it's not a good look at all, Sally.
And Warwick, yesterday when the Matildas were playing, said that I was going to be in a meeting, and true to your word, you texted through when Hayley Rasso found the back of the net. So I tried to just keep a straight face during the meeting, but I was kind of fist pumping that it was happening. So the Matildas, they dug deep to beat Mexico in the friendly in Texas yesterday.
Sally, I wondered how you knew it was Hayley Rasso. I wonder if you were paying attention to the whiteboard and the butcher's paper. Yes, look, it was a pleasing 2-0 with one of the available veterans, Hayley Rasso. Yes, you knew all about it. Scoring in the first half and another, Caitlin Ford, in the second. And look, given the vicissitudes he faced going into the game in the absence of so many injured players, the coach, Tony Gustafsson, he was sporting the old grin like a split melon after the game. His makeshift defence set-up that he had to put in place, holding up while his attacking players, managed to find ways through the aggressive Mexican press. It took a while, but Rasso and Ford's goals were absolute belters from outside the box, and there were other boxes that could be ticked in rather nicely. Caitlin Torpy started at left back, while Claire Wheeler, in her 30-minute cameo, showed the sort of form that will be having her, along with a few others, pushing for a place in the squad of 16 for Paris. This is interesting, and it's much smaller squad for the Olympics than, say, for a World Cup. And I don't know if you whittle it down or work it down, but it's certainly going the performance of some of the peripheral players is making that little bit harder for Gustafsson. And I guess as a seasoned coach, that's how he would like it, Sally.
As long as the hospital gown doesn't become the unofficial uniform for the poor Matildas who are out at the moment, Warwick. In tennis, a big moment for Alexei Poprin at the Monte Carlo Masters.
Yeah, look, adjusting himself to the demands of clay and of keeping an opponent who likes to play from the back line guessing a bit. He's beaten the defending champion, no less, Andrei Rublev, in a couple of sets. And yes, it's the biggest moment of his still relatively young career. And the win sets up a round of 16 match with no less than Alex Demonar, a couple of smart Alexes. He dropped the first set against the Dutchman Talon Griekspoor, but then rallied, served and volleyed sufficiently enough to take the next 2-6, 2-6-3.
Golf, Tiger Woods, he's not done yet. He says he's not there to make up the numbers at the Masters this weekend. He wants one more jacket by the sounds of it.
Well, he grinned shortly after saying it, and he probably did mean it, or probably at least hoped it. It's a big call for the 48-year-old whose history of misfiring body bits continues to cause him grief, but he says he can feel in his brittle bones, yes, he can win another green jacket. He does know how to do it as a younger man, and before life threw a series of vicissitudes at him, many of those of his own making. He did it 5 times. Recently, though, he struggled to get to the tee. let alone walk 18 fairways 4 days in a row. When he does get to the first tee on day one at Augusta National, he will share it with one of the many Australians vying for the fabled jacket, Jason Day, whose own form's been patchy. He didn't make the cut in his last tournament, but he was once good enough to come second in this tournament. Meanwhile, Cameron Smith reckons he's over the tummy bug that laid him low and so ready to go. And there's also Minwoo Lee to watch. I guess we'll have a better idea about the accuracy of these prognostications this time tomorrow morning and the 3 or 4 mornings to follow, Sally.
Playing Masters with a broken finger. I don't know about that. Warwick, in rugby league, another big name is in the frame to coach the Rabbitohs.
Yes, Sally, Mal Meninga, the Australian coach, is now being mentioned as a locum tenens if Jason Demetrio is sacked. It seems it's going to happen if the Rabbitohs don't beat Cronulla Sutherland. Meninga comes into the equation because the Rabbitohs' preferred replacement for Demetrio, Wayne Bennett, is contracted to Redcliffe until the end of the season. Tonight, Easts go into the game against Newcastle with their own locum tenens because of concussion injuries to Sam Walker and James Tedesco. Joey Manu will switch from the centres to fullback, and Connor Watson will play against his old club at number 6 with Luke Keary shifting to number 7. Both sides need to win, so it should make for an entertaining game tonight, Sally.
And finally, in netball, the Mavericks are talking up their chances in Super Netball after being hastily brought together to replace the beleaguered Collingwood netball team.
Tracy Neville, the coach, believes adversity, and boy, she's had plenty of it, including losing 2 key players even before the season proper starts this weekend. She reckons that's going to help her side, and they're probably going to need everything they got against the Melbourne Vixens. The haste around the Mavericks is because they were brought into the competition, as you've indicated, to replace Collingwood after the Magpies failed to turn a team of champions into a champion team. Now, we're going to have a full preview of the new setball season tomorrow. The beginning of the long road back, you'd think, for netball after the toxic, that was Liz Ellis's infamous word for it, pay dispute, which led to the resignation of a CEO. There's been a loss of sponsorship. There's been a shake-up at board level. All is in between this. There is some good news. The Diamonds won everything they contested. Then they can provide some inspiration too for the Mavericks. You can win despite all the bombs going off around you, Sally.
Thanks, Warwick.
Good on you.
That's Warwick Hadfield there with sport.